Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Donna Ardwin is no longer in charge of the state budget for Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration, effective today. Ardwin was a polarizing figure as budget director. Conservatives saw her as an independent mind who wasn't influenced by special interests. Critics described her as a callous administrator who never made an effort to understand Alaska. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports on what's next for Ardwin and the state.
Governor Dunleavy's chief of staff, Ben Stevens, announced the change in leadership in the State Office of Management and Budget in a call with reporters on Monday.
It was a decision that was made unanimously within the leadership of the governor's office.
Ardwin came into the position with a national reputation for slashing state budgets. She helped shape a budget proposal this year that aimed to close a gap between what the state spends and what it raises of more than $1.5 billion. Ardwin also supported centralizing the staff who work on state departments' budgets in her office, and state commissioners played a less public role in budget discussions than in the past. Stevens says Ardwin had a significant impact.
Ms. Ardwin has been very instrumental in contributing a lot of tactics and a lot of ways to analyze this budget and a way for us to look at budget reductions and to find efficiencies within the government.
Ardwin became a lightning rod for criticism over the budget. Critics frequently mentioned that she recently moved to the state. And the budget cuts helped galvanize a recall effort against the governor. Stevens says he doesn't think Ardwin's departure has anything to do with the recall. Stevens says commissioners will take a more prominent role in the future. He also says Dunleavy hasn't changed his agenda.
He's listened to Alaskans. He's listened to the legislature. He's listened to his advisors. And he makes the decisions that he thinks are the right ones to move his agenda forward. And I think that's what he's done here.
Representative Zach Fields is an Anchorage Democrat who says Ardwin's departure is a victory for Alaskans. He served on 5 finance subcommittees.
Under Donna Ardwin, the OMB took what I believe is an unprecedented role in seizing control of budgeting decisions that historically had been left to, first of all, Alaskans, second of all, people who actually understood their departments and knew what they were doing.
Stevens says Ardwin was given 2 weeks' notice and is transitioning to being an advisor to the budget office. He says she'll be offered a contract to continue beyond the next 2 weeks as an advisor, but that she would no longer be a state employee and she would earn less than her current salary. The governor's office plans to announce an acting director later this week. OMB Deputy Director Laura Kramer will manage the office in the meantime. It's the second major change in Dunleavy's inner circle this summer. The governor announced that Stevens replaced former chief of staff Tuckerman Babcock in July. Babcock left the administration a month later. Ardwin was traveling out of state Monday on personal business. When reached by a reporter, she referred questions to the governor's office. With help from Alaska Public Media's Nat Herz, in Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
An email from Alaska's former First Lady sheds light on the actions that drove Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott from office, suggesting he may have invited a woman into his room. The revelation came in an email sent from former First Lady Donna Walker to her husband, Governor Bill Walker, about Byron Mallott's resignation. At the time, the governor said Mallott had made inappropriate comments. She said that was a huge understatement, and he would be criticized for it. She urged him to describe the situation as inappropriate conduct. Emails and others were part of an open records request submitted by the Associated Press and fulfilled Friday. When reached Friday night, Governor Walker said he didn't have anything to add. He described it as a, quote, very unfortunate situation all around. Alaska lawmakers, under pressure from conservative Governor Mike Dunleavy, cut more than 30% from the ferry budget this year. That's forced sharp cuts to service for the towns along Alaska's coast. Many of the stops on the ferry's route lack road access, which means it will be harder and more expensive to move people and goods around. But because the cuts weren't distributed evenly, they've left some communities feeling particularly isolated. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media took the ferry to Cordova to hear more.
It's 4:30 a.m. at the dock in Cordova, way earlier than anyone should be awake. It's still dark outside, But the car deck of the Aurora, the 235-foot-long state ferry, is lit up bright. It's the end of the fishing season, and everyone is trying to get their cars back to Anchorage and Wasilla, so the ship is tight. Crew members are guiding pickups and huge trailers down a ramp into their spots, bumper to bumper up against the walls. It's somewhere between car ballet and a game of Tetris.
Back easy.
Cordova is right on Prince William Sound, and there's no road that leads out of this town of 2,200 people. You can fly, but that costs $150 with limits on luggage. The Aurora costs $70. Denise Branshaw is one of dozens riding the Aurora out. She needs to bring back more stuff for her family fishing business than she can fit on a plane. She and her husband both have long lists.
And we've got to get pumps. I mean, I can't even go into the things of his list. I know my list, and it's pages long. A stove, furniture, tires. We're going to be spending thousands because we're not going to be able to do it again for 8 months.
Cordova was getting a ferry 4 times a week through the summer. Later this month, the Aurora will stop sailing there until the end of April at the earliest. The 30% cut that the legislature and governor have made to the ferry have created big holes in other places, too. Kodiak will miss out between mid-January and April, but no other place is seeing a gap like Cordova. Say you're part of a school sports team, or your car needs work in Anchorage because there's no dealership in Cordova, or you want to pick up a bunch of groceries for your business or your pantry at Costco. All those things are about to get a lot harder, and Branshaw is upset about it.
Oh, I'm mad. You bet I'm mad. We all are. We're all upset. We're all in shock. We couldn't imagine it would be this bad.
Branshaw isn't the only one. Cordova Mayor Clay Copeland is so fired up that he comes to meet me at the dock at 4:45 a.m. before the ferry takes off to send a message. He says he's still trying to work with Governor Dunleavy's administration to change course and fill in some of the gaps. But you can tell he's starting to get impatient.
There's middle ground, and it's called baseline minimal service, and that is not what Cordova's getting. We're getting the lights turned off. Well, you know, Cordova's a scrappy little community. You start throwing rocks at it, they'll throw back.
If the state doesn't adjust the ferry schedule, Cordova will explore private service. But it shouldn't have to, Copeland says, because residents help boost the economy of Anchorage and other parts of the state when they take the ferry to buy groceries and other goods. Governor Dunleavy's transportation commissioner, John McKinnon, says it's unlikely the schedule will change at this point. But he says that when the ferry calendar was released for this winter, he and other department officials understood it would be a tough time for Cordova.
When this came out, a number of us looked at that and said, you know, that's a big gap for the Aurora in Prince William Sound.
McKinnon was born in Juneau, and he says he understands the importance of the ferries to Alaska's coastal towns. He says there's a new ship coming online next year, and he wants to restore some level of winter service to Cordova. But he rejects the argument made by boosters of the system that spending on ferries is the equivalent to spending on things like road maintenance and snow plowing. When budgets for paved highways are cut, he says, there are more car crashes and people can die.
When we reduce maintenance to our highways, that's a direct health, life, safety, public safety issue. When we reduce ferry service, it's a matter of convenience.
Back on the Aurora, Branshaw, the woman whose family runs a fishing business, says the ferry is a matter of public safety because when it stops running, people have to switch to riskier forms of transit. She still remembers a plane crash from a decade ago when one of the state ferries was pulled away from its regular route between Kodiak and Homer to run in Prince William Sound instead.
There was a group of cod fishermen that would have been on their regular sailing home for Russian Christmas. And they perished, and one of them was a teenager. We lost 5 lives, and it's going to happen again.
The last ferry to Cordova arrives Friday. On the Aurora, I'm Nat Hurst.
Southeast Alaska won't see a commercial fishing season for Red King crab for the second year in a row. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game made the announcement last week. The season last opened in 2017 for the first time in 6 years. The department also announced further reductions in areas for personal use king crabbing based on those low stock estimates. Two more areas, Seymour Canal and Pybus Bay, are closing to crabbing effective Monday, September 23rd. Other areas that still remain open have bag and possession limits of just one crab. Anchorage officials have organized the rollout of a single-use plastic bag ban in an effort to reduce litter and waste. Anchorage Daily News reports that the ban was scheduled to take effect yesterday in Anchorage. The Anchorage Assembly approved the ordinance in August 2018, banning commercial businesses, including restaurants, from legally handing out disposable plastic bags. City officials say the original rollout date was scheduled for March 1st, but it was delayed because business owners had large stockpiles of plastic bags to use. Officials say businesses can offer a paper bag, but must charge the customer for a minimum of 10 cents to a maximum of 50 cents. An exception includes bags used for produce, meat, or bulk items at grocery stores. Washington State Department of Health officials say two more Washington residents have received medical treatment for severe lung disease linked to vaping in what officials say is now a statewide outbreak. Officials said today that the Spokane Regional Health District reported the new cases involve a teen and someone in their 20s. The first confirmed case was reported last week in a Seattle area teen. Officials say the patients in all three cases reported vaping prior to illness. And finally, here's the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, chance of rain, lows in the mid-40s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, patchy fog, highs around 60. The Weather Service also says heavy rainfall is possible later this week. A very wet period is expected. The first atmospheric river event is expected Wednesday into early Thursday. A second, more significant event is expected Friday and Saturday. There's potential for multi-inch daily rainfall totals. Potential also exists for significant rises to occur along small streams and water basins. That's it for the KTO News Update for Monday, September 16th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.